The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here on a Friday afternoon. More phone calls at 855-242-7285. We talked to Brooks Cabina earlier about the Craig departure from LSU. He indicated it could be an issue involving regularity. He just said he is still investigating it, so we didn't get much more on that than from him. We are in the middle of a very busy baseball afternoon. We mentioned South Carolina winning. Florida has just reconvened, trailing USF, 3-2. Other games underway and a lot happening, but mostly your phone calls here at 855-242-7285. And let us get to the calls and talk to Griffin, who is in Florida. Hello, Griffin. What's going on with you?
Yeah, man. How you doing?
We are doing really well. Thank you.
Yes, I was thinking about I would like to get your opinion on how Florida would do on doing football this season, on their schedule and how their schedule will work out.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting schedule. I think the easily have the two toughest games of anybody. I mean, they're not the only ones, but playing Alabama and Georgia is something other schools do, including Auburn. But that is a brutal schedule, and I mean, I think they could conceivably go 10-2, and still not really have a lot to brag about.
And also the quarterback position. Do you know who's starting at quarterback this season, or will? Not really sure yet.
Well, I think most people are assuming it's where it is there, but I think Dan Mullen is one of those guys that's always going to play it close to the vest, but I think everyone in Florida knows where that situation lies right now.
All right.
Yeah, Griffin. I mean, Emory Jones is certainly by far the best player, I think, in terms of where Dan's going to land. I mean, I know Florida fans are extremely high on Emory, but we need to see more before you're going to convince me that he's going to beat Alabama or Georgia. Thank you for the call.
I can tell you this is Alabama.
What's that?
I can tell you that Alabama's a tough team.
Alabama's. I don't think anybody's underestimating Alabama because they have the best. They're going to be the number one team in the country, but their defense is. I don't think people are giving their defense enough credit. But I was looking at the Gators schedule. I know we had it up on our screen a minute ago, but for those who didn't see, it's a little tricky though. I still think that Kentucky game on October 2nd is a real challenge. The one thing about Emory Jones. He is a dual-threat quarterback, which Trask was not, and I think ultimately that gives them a little more diversity in relation to what Dan Mullen is comfortable with. Let's go to Logan up next in Columbia. Hello, Logan. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Logan, we're doing great. What's up with you? What's that, Logan? I am having some difficulty listening to Logan, but let me. Okay, Logan, you still there or not? I don't hear him.
I'm right here, Paul.
Okay. I'm glad we waited. We switched over here a minute ago, and a few things were lost in the translation, but I think we have you now. Go right ahead.
All right, Paul. I just called in for a couple things. I've been listening to you for 4 years of my time at the University of South Carolina.
Okay.
Probably 3 days out of the week.
That's great.
And it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
And I'll tell you what, it's a great day to be a Gamecock because I don't know if you saw it. We just told the ACC who runs baseball, and that is the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, the Gamecocks, they were down in that game to Virginia, were they not?
Oh, yes, sir. We were right there on the third baseline. All 25 of us, a bunch of graduates. Good to be coming back to seeing us run it. 82, 100% humidity. I'm sweating out every beer I had in that stadium. But you know what? It felt good. It felt like 2011. Coming back when you think we're down, white pinstripes, that is what the postseason is all about. I could not have been happier. And as soon as I got home, I got showered because, good Lord, I sweat through all my khakis and my shirts that I had. I had my 08 Fresno State shirt on because I knew it was a rally kind of day. And I said, you know what? I'm going to call Paul because Paul knows what's been going on today.
Hey, let me ask you a serious question here, Logan. And I don't want to sound like one of your parents here, but so what happens next for you? What's your next? Are you done with school, or do you still have more to go?
I graduated a month ago. I'm actually going into the U.S. Army. I'll be at Fort Sill, Oklahoma.
Really?
August 10th. Yes, sir.
That is fantastic.
Yes, sir. And I feel like I should call you. I've been listening to you, good Lord, for 4 years. I've been calling in for a few years. I called in probably a few months ago. Your show has been the backbone of me and all my friends who are big South Carolina football fans. As much as we suffered through Will Muschamp and Holbrook and the down Frank Martin years, I kept coming back. You know why? Because every day I wake up, I go, it's good to be a Gamecock. And today just made me feel so much better. I'll sweat through the pain, and I'll sweat through the game as long as we get a win. 7 p.m. tomorrow, we'll be there, packed, Founders Park, whoever it is, Old Dominion or Jacksonville, we'll be there. I'll buy my $8 beer, and I'll be yelling at the top of my lungs at whoever plays right field.
Well, Logan, I can't tell you what this means to all of us here on the show, and we will be thinking of you as you move on to serving this great country of ours, and I hope you'll stay in touch.
All right, Paul, can I say one thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, one thing. I love my Gamecock Nation, and I love everything that we do. And last thing, I hope Georgia loses every game next year. Talk by 90. Have a great day, Paul.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Logan. We will keep you updated throughout the afternoon. Florida is in a tough battle, trailing 4-2 right now. Mississippi State's pulled ahead of Samford 4-1. The number one team in the country having a tough time with New Jersey, NJIT, down 3-0, but it's still early in that game. And they are threatening. So we will take a break. Rachel Barbeau joins us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome all of you back here, and it's so... So exciting to talk to our next guest. I've known Rachel Barbeau for so many years. I don't want to give away her story, though. I'd rather she tell it because she's doing some very important things right now in collegiate sports. You may have heard her a couple of years ago on this program. But, Rachel, first of all, thank you for being here. It's so great to see you. And I just want to start, I want to go back a little bit because it's just not fair to dive right into what you're currently doing without telling your story and how you got to this point. First of all, good afternoon.
Hello, my friend. It's so great to be on with you. And I'm so grateful for somebody like you who continually gives me a platform and a voice to talk about the wonderful things that are happening on the collegiate side of sports. But yeah, I was with you, Paul. We've hosted some things together. We've sat side by side. I was a sportscaster for 17 years. And so blessed and honored to be the first female host on SiriusXM on their collegiate channels, vote for the Heisman, hosted the college football playoff. And then in 2016, I created this movement called I'm Changing the Narrative. And it originally started as Who Are You Away From the Field? And I originally started with football players, but then it expanded to all sports. And then we started talking to queens. And then we began to say, are you a king or a queen or royal every day of your life? And how do you treat people? And you have this amazing platform, and what are you doing with it? And then a couple of years ago, Paul, we really got into the mental health space, and not just mental health when things aren't going well, but mental fitness and self-care every single day. How are we taking care of ourselves? And Paul, again, it's just been a wild ride. Never thought I'd retire from sportscasting, but I did in 2019. And now we've been to 45 plus schools. We are partnered with the Big 12. We work with the Big 10. We're partnered with the Northern Sun. And we work with Customs and Border Patrol twice. I'm meeting with an NFL owner next week. It's on fire. And again, I'm grateful for somebody like you who will let me speak this great message.
Well, Rachel, let's talk first about what you're doing, but mm-hmm. I do want to come back because we have some time here, mm-hmm. being a Friday afternoon. Later on, I would like to get into the media part of all this because mm-hmm. it's so important right now considering what's been going on. But first of all, let's talk specifically about what you're doing. And you mentioned mental health. That's on everyone's mm-hmm. mind at the moment.
Yeah, it's huge. So what we talk about with mental health, we say take off the mask, right? Not the COVID mask, your proverbial mask, the mask, Paul, that you wear for everybody, that you go to work and you tell your partner and you go tell your teammates, because this is for age 6 to 96. Hey, I'm okay, everything's fine. But inside, you might be crippled by anxiety or depression. You might have some other mental issues going on. You might be lonely. You might be isolated. And we're wearing these masks for people, right? But inside, a lot of times, we're struggling. And so we talk about that. We say, take off the mask. We say, more people are drawn to your imperfections than they ever were your perfections. There's also this idea, particularly when I speak to men, because I work with both kings and queens, there's this idea that's been passed down from your granddaddy's 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 granddaddy. And it's this idea to be a man that you can't show emotion, you can't be weak, and you can't be vulnerable. And it means, you know, this antiquated idea is like, you got to man up, toughen up, put some dirt on it and keep moving. And this idea, Paul, is killing men across the country. And so we talk about that. But then we also talk about every single day, how are we taking care of ourselves? And I'm not talking about the kind of self-care, Paul, that like getting your nails done and going for a run in a bubble bath. I'm talking about soul care, finding out and exploring what sets Paul's soul on fire. What makes you tick? What fills your cup? And so many people have never, ever looked into, explored what actually fills their cup. And so we're walking around empty, we're spilling on people, we're yelling at people, and then we're getting ourselves to a red line place when we really need to be taking care of ourselves on an everyday basis.
Talking to Rachel Barbeau. Rachel, I know that you've been doing this for a long time, but I do want to bring up the last 15 months. Yeah, most of us are now reconnecting with society. We're all going through this in a different way. Some of us never stopped, but the majority of the people watching and listening right now are tiptoeing back to the real world. We talked a lot about athletes dealing with mental health because of COVID, but I would like for you to maybe share some stories that you've heard, because it has not been easy. I mean, first of all, everyone's life stopped. Many didn't do things that they're used to. Their friends were no longer around. What have you heard as you visit with young people across the board?
Okay, so first things first, you said something that I think was really important, tiptoe. That's super important. Nobody says you have to go full-fledged, jump in the pool, you know, back into society. You can tiptoe back into it, right? A lot of us have a lot of feelings, a lot of social anxiety. I'm an extrovert, but I'm also introverted. So you don't have to go full tilt boogie back into society. And so be mindful of what you're doing. Check in with yourself. As my friend, Dr. Josh Klapo says, he's our resident psych at I'm Changing the Narrative. Check in with yourself on a daily basis. And the stories I've heard are crazy. You know, during the pandemic, Paul, I had a huge April, and I was at Texas Tech when the world got shut down. And I even had a moment where I felt like I wanted to quit because I couldn't go out on the road. I couldn't get in front of people. And then I said, you know what? After crying about it for a couple of days, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps and I said, do people need me? Yes. Do people need me now more than ever? Yes. Can I reach them? Yes. And so I started calling Zoom schools and doing Zooms with all my schools and new schools like UNLV and West Virginia and SEMO and old schools too. And so I was on Zooms every week meeting them where they were. So that was so important. And now I'm back out in person. And so we're doing kind of a mixture of those things. But some of the stories, one company owner, and this is important for our business owners and professionals, one company owner heard a podcast of mine and said, wow, I really need to be paying attention to mental health in my own workspace. So he got his employees together, Paul, and they had a meeting and talked about how they were feeling and what was going on. And did they feel overwhelmed? Do they need some time off? And they love him now because of the fact that he cares about their mental health. We have said for the longest time, we hosted a mental health game between Minnesota and Maryland in 2019 and hope to do it again. And we did a joint PSA, Paul, and we said, your mental health is just as important, if not as more important than your physical health, right? If you do something to your elbow, Paul, people say, oh, you got to get your elbow fixed. But if something's going on up here, you got to get that fixed. So it's been really amazing for me to have business owners and people that are out of college take to this too and say, I need to create this kind of workspace, this kind of environment for my people to thrive. And one more story, Paul, I had a woman stand in front of me just before the lockdown last year and say to me, I was gonna go home and kill myself tonight. And then I heard your story because I had my own mental health struggles after losing my mom. And because of you, I decided I'm not going to do that. I have a reason to live. And Paul, when somebody stands in front of you and says that to you, and it's happened more than once, it changes you profoundly, Paul.
No, there's a question. Rachel, you've always been very honest about yourself and what you've been through, which I think is about the only way to do this correctly. But how do you... I mean, you're out there helping people, and you hear a story like that. What happens to you? I mean, how do you handle that?
Yeah, so it's a great question, and I appreciate you for asking it. You know, I've learned that I have to be even more vigilant about my own self-care, and I have to check in with myself twice as much because I'm pouring out to so many people, thousands of people across the country, and I make myself available. During the pandemic, I just said, look, you know, I don't need people to have to get to me through social media. Here's my telephone number to my athletes. If you need me, call me. And I've had middle of the night, you know, near suicide phone calls, and thank the good Lord that they're all alive and we got them help and they're thriving. And so I have to, a lot of times when I'm done, I have to go sit in a dark room, Paul. I have to just go sit and cry or sit and be. People want to take me out to dinner afterwards or what. I just need to be. Sometimes I sit in my car with my head on the steering wheel and I cry. And for me, it's God, but I thank God that I'm able to do this work and be there. And I ask, you know, to know what to do to fill my own cup. I think something else I wanted to share this with you, Paul, that's happening. I just left SMU and I love Sonny Dykes. I just left SMU and he did something revolutionary, Paul. And I've had a few coaches do this, but particularly during the pandemic, he allowed me a session after the players left only with his coaches. And so I was able to teach his coaches what his players, what a lot of the players across the country, Paul, are dealing with, are telling me that are too afraid to tell their coaches, I'm scared to lose playing time. I'm scared I'm going to lose a scholarship. I'm scared I'm going to be seen as weak. So I was able to train the trainers, train the coaches. And then we were able to talk about their own mental health and how they are dealing with the coaching profession. And are their head coaches providing a safe place for them to come when they say, I'm burnt out or I need some time. And so for me, it was so revolutionary and so amazing of Sonny to do this. And the other coaches like PJ Fleck and Coach Lotsey is another one that really takes mental health seriously at Maryland. But it was so revolutionary for those guys and Sonny to do this because It's one thing for me to tell the players, hey, you're not weak when you struggle. As a matter of fact, you're so strong when you ask for help. Asking for help is not weak. You've never been so strong. But if they go back to a coach that has an antiquated view of the world, like, hey, you're weak, get your stuff together, can't struggle, don't you cry, get it together. If they go back to a coach like that, Paul, what are we doing? What am I teaching? It's for naught. So now I'm going to the next level and I'm training the trainer. I'm training the coaches because we all need it. We all need to be talking mental health and mental fitness, how we take care of ourselves on a daily basis to make sure we're okay.
We are chatting with Rachel Barbeau, and we will include your phone calls in a few minutes at 855-242-7285. We're watching a number of baseball games as well. Alabama, back in the tournament for the first time in a number of years, has lost its first game 8-1 against NC State. They'll have one more opportunity to. Well, they may be more than that, but they're down to this is a double elimination round. So we will take a break. Much more with Rachel Barbeau, and I also want to talk about Rachel's experience with the media. The media has been under fire lately because of the situation with. From the French Open with Naomi Osaki, and we'll talk about that as well. We are coming right back. Much more to go right here on a Friday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A little bit to your former life. I had a friend once who said he was a recovering attorney. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm particularly curious about your decision to walk away from the field of sports broadcasting and journalism, something that you were very successful at, as we've said, and very good at.
Thank you, Paul. Quite simply, it no longer set my soul on fire. And a crisis of soul, if you will, because for, leading up to the fall of 2019, I'm changing the narrative, was getting bigger and bigger and growing more and more. I never saw it going where it's gone. And here I am. I know some of these players' deepest, darkest secrets. I know their mom has been abused. I know they had depression. I know they almost took their own life. I know all of these things in my soul. And then after a game, Paul, I was sticking a microphone in their face for Sirius and saying, tell me about that great, catch, tell me about that great route you ran and the great tackle you made. And I could almost feel them looking at me like, who are you? Are you this mentor and friend and speaker of the year? Or are you a reporter? And are you going to tell my secrets? And so it became really a crisis of the soul for me of, what do you really want to do with your life, Rachel? And my friend Gina Leahy, who works at the NCAA, who used to work with a college football playoff, I adore her. She said, Rachel, you're not defined by being a sportscaster. And she said, your 17 years as a sportscaster was a runway and gave you the relationships to be able to know these coaches and them to trust you and them to allow you to be on their meeting room floors without notes, without, you know, any forewarning. They trust you with their players. And so, you know, the simple answer is it no longer set my soul on fire. The deeper answer is it was a conflict of the soul, Paul.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because, you know, there is so much self-examining right now in the media, you know, after what we've heard earlier in the week from the French Open. And that's not the first time. I mean, this has been going on for a long time. And it's a topic that interests me greatly, because I understand what you're talking about. And I think all of us, or at least I'll speak for myself, have had to ask myself the same questions that you dealt with. And just from someone who understands it and has so many friends that are still in it, and I know it's a tricky question, but, you know, what is going on from your perspective in sports media right now?
I think a great reckoning. I think what's happening in our country and our world is a reckoning of the soul. I think you can't be alone and you can't pause like we did and not have this introspection, this inflection, this, you know, this reckoning happening. And I think for a lot of us, and if you came out, I always say this to my athletes and to Customs and Border Patrol and everybody that I work with, young and old, I say, if you came out of the pandemic the same person that went in, you needed to be looking at yourself and examining, what do I want to change? And life is short and life is precious and we're not promised time. Kobe taught us that. So many losses recently have taught us that. And so I think a great reckoning is happening, where a lot of people are looking at themselves and saying, how am I? Am I okay? What do I need? And I have, while the news out of the French Open made me really sad how she was treated, what makes me the happiest right now, Paul, is that mental health is being discussed everywhere, in workplaces, amongst friend groups, at dinners, in sports talk shows like yours, I mean, in teams. And I teach coaches how to have, and business owners, I teach them how to have small groups and how to have those uncomfortable conversations and how to get comfortable being uncomfortable, because that's where the magic happens, and how to take off the mask. Is there something, Paul, that was meant to kill you but didn't? Guess what? You're supposed to tell somebody about it. And then the other side of that is, maybe you've never experienced trauma. You don't have to experience great trauma to have gone through, have mental health issues, right? So let's get you in a good place in terms of mental fitness, so that when you experience bumps in the road or complete devastation like I have, I've lost both my parents, I've lost a number of other people, and candidly, as I mentioned earlier, I contemplated taking my own life, and I was ashamed, Paul, myself, to talk about it for a while. And then I recognized, if I'm asking people across the country to take off their mask, I need to get real. And that's when this movement just blew up. You know, really, it was already big. We were already going all over the country to top programs and smaller programs and everybody in between. But it blew the lid off of it when we began to talk about my own mental health, my own vulnerability, my own radical vulnerability. I always say that, man. Open up your soul and share who you are and what you've been through. And I'm telling you, people will be drawn to you. So I really think there's a great reckoning going on right now, Paul, where people are looking in the mirror and saying, who am I? How do I go about my job, my business? And that includes the sports media.
Well, Rachel, at that moment, and I know that you've discussed it, but how were you able to come through the darkness when you were facing your own mortality?
I call it my dark night of the soul. And I appreciate you being so vulnerable and going there right now, because there are people out there within the sound of our voices that have felt the same way. And truth be told, hearing somebody else go through it, they feel less alone. And that's what I tell people, you're not defective, you're not broken, you're not weak. I had gone through a breakup, and then my mom passed away after a 10-month cancer battle. I had barely worked because I had chosen to spend a lot of time with her. So financially, I wasn't in a great place. This is me just being vulnerable. And so I felt like I had the perfect storm of life. And I started to hear voices that said, you're weak and you're defective and you're broken. and nobody's ever going to book you. And look at you, you're going to lose your house and you're going to lose your mission and nobody ever stays. And they were terrible voices. And when the voices wouldn't go away, Paul, I actually saw myself picking up the gun off the top of my refrigerator and using that to take my own life. And the only way that I can figure what happened to me is that, one, for me, faith is involved. And for some people that don't have a faith perspective, that's totally okay. You have the life force and the will to live. But for me, I believe that there was a great battle that was waged that night, and the devil meant to kill me, but he didn't. And what he went to kill me with actually gave me the greatest blueprint to go out and tell people that you're not alone and you're not defective, as I mentioned. And so what was meant to kill me has actually made me stronger and given me a platform, a greater platform, to be able to touch and affect people. So I think, you know, a lot of people ask, what is it? Is it your faith? Is it your life force? Is it remembering your family? The other thing that happened to me, Paul, is getting up for Sirius the next morning. It was absolute, just pure exhaustion. I'd had two nights of sleep deprivation. I missed my mom. I had isolated very badly. I'd used my cell phone to tell people I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. People wanted to take care of me after she passed. And I kept pushing people away. And isolation will do that to you. And it can be a very dangerous place. And so I think the other thing that happened was, you know, a faith battle for me, the life force to live, and then also sheer exhaustion. I remember, you know, feel like hearing these voices, and then not long later, I woke up after I feel like this battle took place in my bedroom that night.
Rachel, I'm not qualified to do anything other than ask you questions, but yes. I do feel compelled to ask you this, because you're out talking to many, many people. You're influencing many, many people. You're helping many, many people. And you got through this. But yeah. Are you comfortable with, you know, with resolution, though? Because, and I'm concerned because, you know, I've experienced this with friends and family, and everyone has their moments. But you know, there has to be some concern, does there not, that you've transferred? I don't want to use the word transference, that's a big word, but you've transferred what you went through, and now you're helping people as a means of it being cathartic to yourself. I mean, do you feel good about where you are?
Absolutely. And let me tell you what, we're all about providing tools, and I'm changing the narrative. First of all, I'm unashamed. And I am proud. I mean, I'm waving it like my freak flag over here. I'm in therapy. I read, I study, I'm in therapy. So look, my business manager, who's also an AA sponsor, very wise person, he said afterwards, he said to me, Rachel, and here's something I want people to hear me on this. People would rather share your burdens than carry your casket. People, Paul, would rather share your burdens and carry your casket. I remember laying there and thinking, I don't want to burden anybody. And I remember people saying to me afterwards, when I finally talked about it, what you would have done to my life had you taken your own life. And so my business manager said, Rachel, you need to have three people that you can call that are your ride or die. Now I go across the country teaching this, okay? And I want to give him credit, give credit where credit is due, as a good old journalist, right? And so you need to have three people that you can call if you've got a flat tire, if you are stuck on the side of the road, if you need groceries, or if you're in a bad mental space. And I don't care if it's 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and the third answer, the fourth person is a crisis hotline. Right. So now, Paul, if I ever get to that place, I have my three people I can call. And people always ask me, do they need to know if they're your people? Yes. Tell them they're your people. Then teach them to go find their three people. And then everybody finds their next three people. And so this is a way to combat when we are feeling the way we're feeling. Because here's the reality, Paul. I'm a mental health advocate. I'm like you. I am not an expert. I wasn't schooled in this. I like to joke and say I'm a street therapist, but we point you to real help. But there's a thing, and it's facts versus feelings. Facts versus feelings. And your people, and also therapy, can tell you the difference in facts and feelings. What I was feeling that night, Paul, were all feelings. None of those things were facts. Okay? And so oftentimes we get so overwhelmed. Athletes, coaches, moms, dads, professionals, kids, we get so overwhelmed with our feelings, but truth be told, they aren't fact. And if we can get past it, we can see that they aren't facts, right? But in the moment, Paul, it feels so overwhelming.
One last question, and then we're going to run out of time. But because you are so well known and prominent, and I heard my friend Stephen A. Smith talk about this the other day, that he admitted his own issues. He lost his mother 4 years ago, and he didn't want to work that day, but he had to. Because it's not so much being well known, but so many people, because of their position, whether it's in their workplace or in their community, that they're more I do have great concern about those people, and I know you do as well, because we're so concerned what people think. How do those people get through it?
I just told somebody today, I do some mentoring and coaching. I just told somebody today, the greatest thing that I've done in life, and it's a battle that I wage every day, but I have freed myself from what people think. I've freed myself from this albatross of perfectionism. I know that more people are drawn to me because of my idiosyncrasies and maybe my dark side and my not so lovely bits than they are my perfection. You know, it's very hard to relate to somebody's perfection, but Paul, people can relate to your imperfection. People can relate when you stumble over a line or you say something wrong. They say, oh, I'd do that if I were him, right? And so I think really unleashing yourself and doing it daily and saying, you know, I don't live to make other people happy and I don't need to be perfect. And I, again, another conversation recently with a very high person and well-to-do was saying, hey, they need you the most to speak to this event because they've got money and they're successful and they go to these events and they're like, life is great, everything's great, my wife is beautiful, business is great, my kids are going great, but inside they're dying. And Paul, it's a heavy, heavy burden to bear. And so we tell people, take off the mask, right? Find your trusted people that you can talk to. And we have resources on our website, imchangingthenarrative.org, to find mental help. You can also Google low-cost mental health resources in your area, but really turning and destigmatizing and changing the narrative on mental health, that actually when you ask for help, you have never been so strong. And also, like I said, releasing yourself from that idea and that albatross of perfectionism. I don't worry about it anymore.
Rachel Barbeau, I'm Changing the Narrative founder, and I can't thank you enough. It's been too long. It's so great to hear your story, as difficult and as vexing as it has been. I know you're helping many, many people all over this country. Rachel, you be well. Please come back, and all the very, very best.
Hey, and Paul, I just want to say thank you to you for being one of the media people that's currently still in it, that's willing to talk about this. It's not a great, fun conversation. It's not stats. It's not a game. It's not preseason polls. But we got to keep talking about it. Every time we talk about it, somebody like me and the next person that struggled and the next person feels less alone and feels less stigmatized. So thank you, Paul. Thank you, my friend, for having me on.
Thank you, Rachel. And we will see you soon. Rachel Barbeau joining us, and we will get your reaction to this. And I have a feeling there will be a lot at 855-242-7285. It is Friday afternoon, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. It is great to have all of you here. And I definitely want to get some reaction to what Rachel had to say. I thought it was gut-wrenching at times to hear the rawness of her story. And I think it doesn't have to be this way, but I think when you go out and speak about personal things and trying to help motivate people, if you have a story to tell that is as compelling as hers, it can certainly give it a lot of authenticity. Let me update you on some of the games of the day. South Carolina came from behind to win in its regional in Columbia. Alabama fell to NC State, that is in Ruston. Meanwhile, Florida is struggling against, they just hit a homer though in the bottom of the eighth, so they're down 5-3. Arkansas up 9-3, they trailed earlier. And Mississippi State leads Samford 5-3. A lot of games going on, to say the least. And of course, big win for the Gamecocks We'll update you on the Gators a little bit later when we come back. But right now, let's go to the call. We'll go to your calls in a minute at 855-242-7285, and we are back right after this.